As we remain standing, let us pray. O Lord, please hear our prayers. Strip away the unworthiness of our words, our deeds, our thoughts, our feelings, and hear those cries of the soul from deep within, which even when we call out to you, we may not fully understand. Sift the truths which lie behind our needs and answer us according to our deepest spiritual lives. We pray, for you alone are the God of our salvation. Amen. Please be seated. I just want to make a small comment on the passage from Isaiah. That was a good reading, and it's hard to read that passage. But anyhow, I liked the whole idea of fasting, not about not eating food, but fasting fasting so that we break the bonds of injustice, to undo the things of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free, and to break every yoke. I thought that was very pretty powerful. I'm not preaching on Isaiah. It's too bad. Maybe I will in a couple of years when it comes up again. Millions of people are fleeing persecution in their country, looking for a safe place to call home. We are being bombarded from social network sites and all other media about the state of every aspect of our life. And this has contributed, I think, to a rise in fear, anxiety, and hopelessness. And certainly what happened south of the border last week might get that anxiety level up. Peace is hard to maintain, and anxious thoughts can overwhelm us. Has anyone ever been overwhelmed by anxiety? It's difficult to not believe that what is happening in the world, that's what it is. It's the sum total of our existence. It's almost as if the darkness is slowly seeping into the light and life is losing its flavor. So where is the hope? Where can we find comfort? And in today's reading from the gospel, Jesus offers us hope, a call to be salt and light. Salt and light. They may seem insignificant, but both are needed for our general well-being. One is barely noticeable, yet too much of it can spoil the taste, and too little can affect the flavor. The other is visible. It is most needed at night or when it is dark. Because Jesus uses simple things in life to demonstrate where our focus needs to lie. To be of the world, but not in it. The reading comes at the end of, I think, one of the greatest and longest sermons ever preached by Jesus, the Sermon on the Mount or the Beatitudes. Here Jesus asks us to look at our spiritual hearts. In the spiritual realm, the heart is the control center of a person's life. It contains our thoughts, our wills, our emotions. It is the spiritual place within us from which everything else flows. Thoughts, emotions. So just as our physical life flows through our heart to our spiritual life flows in and through our heart, where the eyes of the heart are opened. To have a Christ-like heart is to be blessed. So what does it mean to be blessed? The word blessed is sometimes translated as happy, but I think that's inadequate. The Jewish understanding was that to be blessed was to have the life of God bestowed upon you, all his goodness and his mercy. The Amplified Bible says to be blessed was to be envied, spiritually prosperous with life and joy and satisfaction in God's favor and salvation, regardless of outward conditions. How many people think that people are jealous of your spiritual condition? They'd be jealous of your house, jealous of your clothes, jealous of your jobs, but I'm not too sure that too many of us are jealous of someone's spiritual growth. For the listeners of his day, this was good news, for Jesus was telling them they were going to have the highest state of God's approval and the fullness of life that flows from him. That's what it meant to be blessed. Jesus asks us to be desperate for a relationship with God, broken over our sin and the sin of the world, to surrender our egos and admit weakness and vulnerability. When's the last time you said, oh, I'm so weak and I'm so vulnerable? Well, that isn't what we say. We say, I'm fine. Nothing's going on with me. We are to be hungry and thirsty for Christ, to know him and him crucified, to develop a tenderness, willing to see Christ on the walls and defenses we have thrown up for protection, to live an undivided life with God as the focal point, and to reach out as best we can and live in peace, and finally to be brave and courageous when people revile and persecute you because of Christ. The Beatitudes are the elements of a Christ-like life. And the section we read today deals with how this Christ life is intended to be an influence to others. On a hot day from a hilltop in Palestine, Jesus proclaims to the crowd, "You are salt and life." He doesn't elaborate. He doesn't tell his disciples, he doesn't pull his disciples away to make sure they understand. He doesn't need to. Indeed, that great storyteller uses two things common then and now, salt and light, part of everyday life. What does it mean to be salt of the earth and light of the world? Jesus challenges us to seek meaning in these images on the basis of how they are used in the world around us. In ancient times, salt was a precious commodity. It was so highly valued that it was used for money. The English word salary comes from the Latin salarium. The payments made to the Roman soldiers was salt. We still use the expression someone and we say, it's not worth their weight in salt, right? Just trying to think of other expressions where we use salt. Anybody think of another expression that when we use salt? Salt in the wood.
He's not worth it.
Not worth it. What was?
Salt of the earth.
Pouring salt in the wound. I think that's an expression, right? Anyhow. And Jesus refers to the uneducated, poor, and largely insignificant followers as having immense value. They were the salt of the earth. Salt seasons. Remember, we're called to be influencers. Salt seasons. It enhances flavor. A little bit of salt can change a pot of beans, boost the taste of chili or spaghetti sauce. Actually, I made chicken soup the other day, and I had to add more salt because it wasn't salty enough. So, it only takes a little salt to add good flavor to a whole community, a whole neighborhood, a whole workplace. There's a saying, the salt is no good if it doesn't leave the salt shaker. It's only a decoration on the table. So Jesus tells us we are the salt of the earth. But if salt loses its flavor, this is us, if salt loses its flavor, it's not good for anything. It loses its influence. We are people of influence. To be salt, we don't have to be spectacular. To be salt, we don't have to be sensational. To be salt, we don't have to be successful. To be salt, we just need to influence our little corner of the world. Jesus doesn't say you can be the salt of the earth or you should be the salt of the earth. He is emphatically saying you are the salt of the earth. We are the salt of the earth. In Greek, it literally means you and you alone are the salt of the earth. As people of salt, we are of great value. We're of great value. We enhance the lives of others, and we are people of influence for Christ. And what does St. Francis say? Preach the gospel. Sometimes use words. Jesus moves on to calling us the light of the world. Not the lights of the world, but the light of the world, singular. In the spiritual realm, light is the symbol of divine presence. Jesus calls himself the light of the world, and we have his light within us. When we live for Christ, we radiate his light because we now have this light shining in our hearts. But we ourselves are like fragile clay jars containing this great treasure. Isn't that beautiful? Light has several functions. It will expose that which is in darkness. Darkness is no more when you turn the lights on. The people sitting in darkness saw a great light from Matthew last week. Light guides people, places, and things. Airport runways help guide planes of night with light so they can land safely. We turn on our high beams at night when you're driving on dark roads. Jesus is calling us to be guides and influence those who live in darkness. Light is to be seen. There is no such thing as a secret Christian. We need to be light at all times. Our light shines not so that people will be attracted to us alone, but to the light of Christ within. We are light bearers. We are to be visible to the naked eye, not hiding our Christ light under a bushel, but on a lampstand to give light to all. So how do our lives help people see in the dark, to see things more clearly? Is our one and only life making the darkness deeper or spreading the light? We are blessed to be a blessing. Are we hiding our light? I've had people say to me, I don't have any gifts. Oh, really? Well, then you would be the only human being on the world that doesn't have any gifts. We do. We do have gifts of God, and what are they to be used for? For God's glory. Jesus didn't say we are the light and salt of the church. He didn't say that. He said we're the salt of the earth and the light of the world. He said you are the light of the world. That means it's not just important when we walk through these doors into this church that our lives spread light, but it's important when we walk out of this church. And this is a song from a Christian group called the Newsboys, and it's called Shine. And the chorus goes like this. Make them wonder what you've got. Make them wish they were not on the outside looking bored. Shine, let it shine before all peoples. Let them shine good works, and then let them glorify the Lord. The time is now for us to be the salt of the earth. The time is now for us to be the light of the world, to shine with the glory of God, his character. When people see in us the character of God, then the message will spread like wildfire. So let's shine some light this week, and let's sprinkle some salt. And in the infamous words of McDonald's, would you like some fries with that? I couldn't resist. Sorry about that. Let us pray. Grant, O God, that amidst all the discouragements, difficulties, dangers, distress, and darkness of this mortal life, we may depend on your mercy and on this build our hopes on a sure foundation. Let your infinite mercy in Christ Jesus deliver us from despair, both now and at the hour of our death. Amen.